we'll look at the final lesson and the information there. So, excuse me a minute. God had blinded Israel and cast them away so that, well, they had earned it. You know that. Through the Old Testament, they had gone astray from God time after time, and then they crucified the Lord Jesus, and they blasphemed the Holy Ghost in Stephen, stoning Stephen. But they're now, lo, am I. God blinded and cast them away after they had fallen, and they're, lo, am I, not God's people until Jesus returns to the land. Let's look at Acts 28. 17 through, we'll read through the casting away, actually. It describes their blinding. It doesn't actually call it casting away, but we don't have anything else, any other time listed that fulfills, let me just think where that is. That's in Romans 11, first of all, let's look at verse 2. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Acts was written in Acts 20. In Acts 20, God had not cast away his people. Look down, 13 verses later in Romans 11, 15, and he says, "For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world." Colossians 1:20, the world is reconciled unto God. If the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead or resurrection? Casting away, it talks about it as a sure thing. It's going to happen. It hadn't happened by Acts 20, but it will happen. So here in Acts 28, we're going to see it happen. That's part of the blinding, the casting away. Acts 28:17, and it came to pass that after 3 days, that would be in Rome, after Paul got to Rome, Paul called the chief of the Jews together, that's plural, chief leaders of the Jews, and when they were come together, he said unto them, plural, "Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans." 18, "who, when they had examined me, would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me." Verse 19, "But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal to Caesar." Not that I ought to accuse my nation of, not that I had ought to accuse my nation of. Verse 20, "For this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I'm bound with this chain." And many misinterpret that to say, now I'm not teaching the gospel of Christ anymore, or the gospel of the grace of God. Now I'm teaching Israel's gospel. This was long after Israel had fallen away, and he's about to announce to them the prophecy that will cast them away and will blind them. And Israel's only hope at that point, at the point he says this, is to believe Paul's gospel, the gospel of Christ, the gospel of the grace of God, to bring them into the body of Christ. So, "because that for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain." I'm bound with this chain for preaching how to go to heaven, in other words, not how to be part of Israel. Acts 28:21, "And they said unto him, We neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against." And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus. trying to get them to believe the gospel of God, who Jesus is, that he wasn't a fraud, that he wasn't a fake, that he didn't deserve to be crucified. Persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. Verse 24, and some believed the things that were spoken, and some believed not. Verse 25, and when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. That's a sad picture. They departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Esaias. So he's going to quote this casting away prophecy. Well spake the Holy Ghost by the prophet, by Esaias the prophet, unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing you shall hear and shall not understand. And seeing, here's the blinding part, seeing you shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes. They're blinded. And hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known, this is verse 28, be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles. See how much stronger that is than what we read in Acts 13:46, I think it was, and in Acts 18:6. The other two times it's talking about the gospel being sent to the Gentiles. This is a stronger statement. The salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. Well, reasoning doesn't help. You have to believe. Isaiah 6, verses 9 to 13. Isaiah is casting away curse. And it's proven by what follows the curse that he just read. What follows it in the next verse. Let's look at the curse and what follows it here in Isaiah 6, starting in verse 9. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. Verse 11, then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted, and without inhabitant. That did happen afterward, didn't it? And the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. That happened. Isaiah 6:12, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there shall be a great, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. So that's telling what happened in history. In history, it followed that curse that Paul pronounced on them in Acts 28, just like in the prophecy it said it would. Excuse me just a minute. Pardon me. Welcome to the room. Verse 13, the last verse in the chapter, gives some hope. It says, yet in it, great forsaking in the midst of the land, yet in it shall be a tenth. And it shall return and shall be eaten as a teal tree and as an oak whose substance is in them when they cast their leaves. So the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. So that kind of foretells some of what's going to go on when Israel is called back to the land and during the Jacob's trouble, the 7-year Daniel's 70th week. Let's look in Matthew. Matthew 16, verses 15 to 18, kind of explains Israel's resurrection to the land. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Verse 16, Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ. That's the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Two parts of the gospel of God. And and it's confirmed, the Lord adds to it the resurrection part, five verses later in verse 21, but we're not going to read that far. Verse 17, and Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon... Again, thou is looking away from himself, Jesus looking at Peter. Thou, Peter, art Peter, and upon this, that's toward himself, this is first person, upon this rock will I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So, in Zechariah 12:10, we read that God is going to initiate Israel's return to faith in God. Verse 10, Zechariah 12:10, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. And Revelation 1, verses 4 to 8, echoes Zechariah's prophecy. More details of its timing, though. Look at the Revelation chapter 1, verse 4, 5, 6. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. Verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins with his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. So, and that's referring to the Exodus 19 verse 6 promise that he would make them kings and priests, a kingdom of priests. Revelation 1:7, Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And that's every eye shall see him. That's in fulfillment. It's in progression. It comes after the Lord's first appearance when he said, "The kingdom cometh not with observation." Where's your kingdom? Well, it comes not with observation at this time. But when you get the revelation, every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Verse 8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Excuse me just a minute. Revelation 1:11, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book. Aren't we thankful that these servants of God did write down the revelation of God and the prophecies? Write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira, unto Sardis and unto Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. Now, just a note, Jesus is God. Remember, he said, I am Alpha and Omega. Isaiah 44:6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last. He said, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. So, Jesus Christ is the Alpha and Omega, in Revelation 1, 5 and 8 and 11. Revelation 1, 11, Alpha and Omega is the first and the last. The first and the last is the first and the last in Isaiah 44, 6. They match. The first and the last is the Lord, the King of Israel, the Lord of hosts in Isaiah 44, 6. Let's go on. After that reading, the casting away of Israel in Acts 28, we see in, starting in verse 31, Paul's prison experience continues. It says, and Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came unto him. Received. Now, it's not talking about ascending there, is it? He received them. Excuse me. Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. So in these last two verses of the inspired history book of Acts, Paul might well have written the epistle to the Philippians. That might have happened during that time. After Israel's casting away, after the end of... in the last two verses of Acts, where he lived for 2 years in his own house, he could have written the first of his prison epistles, Philippians, and some of the other earlier so-called prison epistles. Paul was in prison for preaching that Christ sent him to the alien Gentiles also. That's what Acts 22:22 was about after his temple vision that they rioted. In Paul's later epistles, he was preaching to all men. And his doctrine shows that unlike his earlier epistles, before his later sending, it's the same doctrine to all men as it was before. The difference is just that there are not the accommodations for Israel to try and bring Israelites in. It's to all people. And, you know, Israel lost their chance of special treatment. Now, if they're going to come to God, they're going to have to sit next to pork eaters, to catfish eaters, to uncircumcised, idol worshiper, former idol worshippers. That are now believing that Christ died for their sins, and that saves them. Without any works, without any performance, without any behavior constraints. So, how does the Word of God go on? Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Paul's doctrine was sent to the world only through faithful men, though. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the Lord. Excuse me. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me. There's Paul. He's not boasting or trying to gain power. He's saying this is where the revelation is. This is God sent him out. He was the only one that Christ sent out as the apostle of the Gentiles. So there were other apostles that worked in the body of Christ. They were sent out too. But he was the only one sent out with the word, the instructions for us, how we get saved and how we grow. And the things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, that means Paul's sermons and epistles, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Anyone that hears the Word of God can be faithful about it and can go on to teach others also. Verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Let's look in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 to 7, and then we'll look at 17. Verse 2, 2 Timothy 4, 2, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. There are going to be times when you may be in an elevator or something, somebody brings up something, and you can speak the truth to them without being preachy. Sometimes you need to preach, but or tell them what you really need is the salvation God offers. Here's how to get it. Here's how to what you would do to believe, or what there is to believe. Verse 3, this is 2 Timothy 4:3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. What I was saying was you don't have to be hired as a preacher, commonly thought of as a preacher. Anybody that believes can spread the word. Time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Does that sound like Facebook or like Pal Talk? And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables. I mean, it's like they looked into into what's going on today and are telling us what it is. But watch thou in all things. Be on guard, in other words. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist, you know, spreading the word, preaching it out. Make full proof of thy ministry. 2 Timothy 4:6, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Now down to verse 17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Do you see the difference there? He's no longer telling how he went from synagogue to synagogue. As his manner was, he would find a synagogue, go into it, and for three Sabbaths preach. He's no longer saying that. He says that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Acts 26:17, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. So if you look at the next verse, 2 Timothy 4:18, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. So even his death was a deliverance from the mouth of the lion after he had been sent to all people. So let's look at those verses in about the catching up, about the resurrection and catching up of the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, we'll look at verses 51 through 53. Behold, I show you a mystery. Mystery being a secret, often one that's been revealed, but he's going to reveal it here. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Look forward to that change. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And it's described a little more fully, or differently, in Philippians 3:17-21. Verse 17, brethren, be followers together of me. In other words, study Paul's epistles together, Bible study. Be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us, Paul, and those that walk like Paul, you have us for an example. Verse 18, for many walk, of whom I've told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Verse 19, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame. who mind earthly things. Philippians 3:20, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Lord, for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to even to subdue all things unto himself. And then the well-known 1 Thessalonians passage. Stephen had to go. Okay. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And Ephesians 2:6 says, he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So when he comes at the rapture, he'll bring the spirits of those of us who have trusted Christ as our Savior and die. Well, I don't know. It doesn't say, let's see, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So it's those that have died. And 1 Thessalonians 4:15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord will not shall not prevent them which are asleep. Verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of an archangel, the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Remember, the term dead in Christ is only used of Pauline Gospel of Salvation believers. Verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these things. There are many references to this event. Galatians 1, verses 3 to 5, grace be to you and peace from God our Father, God the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Romans 5, 1 to 2, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access, by faith, into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Verses 9 and 10, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And two more verses to close with here. 2 Timothy 4:17 and 18, just to reiterate the final, what we hear about Paul. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And that's the last of the series, so I hope that it's been helpful.